Hello, everybody. Welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. This is the Bible teaching ministry of Rick Warren. Hey, we're so glad you're here with us today. We are continuing in a series called Talking About Stuff That Matters. Now, in this series, Rick looks into the scriptures, and he's unpacking what it means to live in community, have real conversation about what matters most, and face discouragement with courage and faith. It's honest, hopeful, so stay tuned. You won't want to miss a second. And right now, you're going to hear the final part of a message called Creating Life-Shaping Conversations.
Now, here's another major verse in Scripture on how to speak effectively. Ephesians 4, 29. Speak, the Bible says, only, there's that word again, speak only. This is the only way you're supposed to speak. Speak only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs so that it may benefit those who listen. He says the same thing four times in order to get the point across. He says, speak only what's helpful. That's one. Speak only what builds others up. Speak only according to their needs and speak only what will benefit those who listen. That's pretty clear. He says, you start with them. Now, you're going to get to your hurt at some point. You're going to get to your need. You're going to get to your frustration or your fear or your failure or whatever it is in your life. But you don't start there. If you're smart, if you're wise, if you're a wise woman, you're a wise mother, a wise wife, or if you're a wise man, you're a wise husband, you're a wise dad, you don't ever start with you. You start with them in any crucial conversation. Speak what is helpful for building them up according to their need that would benefit those who listen. Now, here's how you do this. When you sit down in the conversation, you say, you go first. And you just let them speak without any interruption. You don't interrupt them. You don't ask questions. You don't ask for clarification. You don't challenge. You just let them speak. And if they speak for 5 minutes or 25 minutes or 35 minutes, you just let them speak. And here's the key. You take notes. You let them, and if you go, they say something and you have a question about it, you write down the question. You don't stop them in the middle. And you let them speak, and you have something you want to challenge or you want to correct. You don't challenge or correct them. You write it down on your thing. You just let them have a free flow. And you take notes. That shows you care. That shows you're aware. That shows you're paying attention. One time, Kay and I had a conversation about our marriage, and I took 9 pages of notes. I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating. Why? Because it was 9 pages of stuff she needed to tell me. And I've been married 44 years. Why? Because we've been doing this for 44 years. I can prevent your divorce if you'll start doing this, okay? I can prevent your divorce. I used to do marriage counseling. I discovered as long as two people are talking, you can work something out. It's when people both give up the talking. That's true in nations, on international relations. It's true in a marriage. It's true between companies. As long as there's talking going on, you have the potential to make some progress. But I would write it down. I would just listen to her talk. And if I had a question, I wrote it down. If I had a clarification, I wrote it down. If I had a disagreement, I wrote it down. But I did not interrupt her. Okay? So you make notes. You let them go first. And then here's the key thing. You summarize what they said to you before you start. Write this down. Summarize what they said to me. And you paraphrase it back. And you say, okay, let me repeat back to you what I think I heard you say. Because I may have gotten it wrong. But here's what I think I heard you say. And you paraphrase back to your spouse or to your child or to your boss or whoever it is. And that shows your listening, your ability to summarize and your ability to paraphrase and to parrot it back to them. This is the mark of a master communicator. You're listening well and you're going to speak well. But you say, let me say what I said back to you, what I think I heard you say. All right? Now, that is the key. Take notes up. You empathize with their needs first. Okay, the A. The A in learning how to speak like a master communicator is to affirm the positive alternative. I'll have to explain this. Affirm the positive alternative. And what I'm saying is that when you, particularly in a conflict, you want to be a proponent of what's right, not an opponent of what's wrong. You want to be in favor of what we could be doing, not critical of what we're not doing. You want to be positive, be a proponent of the right thing and not an opponent of the wrong thing. Because negativity doesn't really change people very much at all. And so you be a proponent, you affirm the positive alternative. Let me say another way of saying it. Don't tell it like it is. Tell it like it could be. Big difference. Tell it like it is doesn't change anybody. It simply it reinforces the negative. But to tell it like it could be builds on faith. It builds hope. And I get a vision of what we could, what our marriage could be. Not what it is, what it could be. I help my child see what they could be, not what they are, what they could be. Don't tell it like it is. Study after study shows that whatever you hold up and people focus on, that's what they move toward. So if you hold up all the negative, you tell everybody what's wrong in your relationship, you tell everybody what's wrong with the world, you tell everybody what's wrong, that's all it does is reinforce it. If I were sitting out there with you today and some guy got up here and started doing a message to dads, and he started telling dads all the things that we do wrong as dads, and the guy goes, you know what, you're a lousy dad. You guys aren't spending enough time with your kids. You're too involved in your work. You spend more time with your sports than you do with your kids. And they tell me all the negative things. You know what all the dads would be doing? Yeah, you're right. You know, we're not very good dads. And we go home feeling pretty bad, pretty lousy, because you just reinforced all the stuff that we already know. And it telling me what I already know, telling it like it is, doesn't change anything. But if a speaker gets up here, and I'm sitting out there, and the speaker goes, I see in you guys the ability to be an incredible father. I see in you the fact that if with God's Spirit in your life, and if you'll build your life and family on this book, on the truth of God, you could become a godly man. And you would be a man that your wife adores and honors and that your kids look up to and have nothing but respect for. You could be a man in the community that everybody goes, I want to be like that guy. That kind of message makes me want to change. That helps me move. Show me what I can become. Don't tell me what I am. I could get up here every week and for 40 years and I could say, we're going to do sin of the week. And this week we're against this sin, and next week we'll be against that sin, and in 2 weeks we'll be against another sin, and we're all a bunch of sinners. And friends, that's not good news. That's not even news. We know that. I don't need to come to church and tell me what I'm doing wrong. I need to come to church and you tell me how to change it, how to fix it, and where I get the power to be different. Okay? So for 40 years, I've been telling you how to change it with the power of the Spirit and the power of God's truth. And we don't tell it like it is, because that just reinforces the negative. You affirm the positive alternative. Now, here's what the Bible says. Proverbs 15, verse 2. When wise people speak, they make knowledge what? Circle that. They make knowledge attractive. If you're wise, when you have a conversation, you're going to make what you say attractive. And I'm going to teach you the three ways to do that in just a second. It makes it attractive. It doesn't take any wisdom at all to share knowledge. It takes enormous wisdom to make it attractive. You cannot. There are a lot of unwise pastors, unwise school teachers, unwise politicians, or unwise researchers and scientists who can share knowledge. Anybody can share knowledge, but it doesn't mean the kids or the students or the members of the church are going to be interested. It takes enormous wisdom to make knowledge attractive. He says, if you're wise, that will make it attractive. So how do I make it attractive? Here's the three secrets. I'm going to give you, this is gold, you guys. You need this. Here's how you make knowledge attractive. Number one, share the benefits. So if you want to make a change in your family, you better be ready to explain why it's going to be beneficial to everybody, not just you, but share the benefit. How is it going to help me? Every time I teach you, you're going, how's this going to help me? Share the benefit. Number two, the second way you make knowledge attractive is say it positively. Don't say it negatively. Don't say it in a condemning, critical voice, spirit. That doesn't work. Say it positively, okay? There are many, many verses in the Bible about this, about being positive in your speech. Here's one, Proverbs 16:21. Proverbs 16:21 says, a mature person is known for his understanding, and the more pleasant his words, the more persuasive he is. You want to be persuasive with your kids? You want to be persuasive with your husband or your wife? You want to be persuasive with clients or customers? The more pleasant you are, the more persuasive you will be. I say it like this. I'm never persuasive when I'm abrasive. I'm never persuasive when I'm abrasive because it just puts people in a negative mood. Now, tomorrow, you go to some store and you're gonna get something and it's not right and the clerk at work is a jerk. I'm a poet and I don't know it, but my feet show it because they're Longfellows. So the clerk at work is a jerk. Now, if they got your order wrong, are you gonna get better service from them if you complain and act like a jerk yourself? No. But if you're polite and you're generous and you're gracious and you cut them some slack, are they gonna bend over backwards? More likely, more likely. You're never persuasive when you're abrasive. So you may be mad, that's not the time to have that conversation. You need to calm down, share the benefits, you say it positively. In fact, write this down. Here's a verse for you, a phrase I want you to get. If I say it offensively, it will be received defensively. I could get up here and offend you every week. I could say things that would put you on the defensive instantly, but I'm smarter than that because I want to help you change, and because I love you, I'm not interested in putting you down. I'm interested in giving you a hand up, helping you out. So if I say it offensively to be received, it's got to be positive. And here's the third key to making knowledge attractive. Offer hope. Offer hope. You should always offer hope in a conversation with a child, with a spouse, with a friend, with somebody at work. Always offer hope. People are hungry for hope. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. We, Christians, have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. If you offer hope, people will listen to you, even when the sermon's long. All right? All right, the K, here's the last one, is keep calm and don't argue. This is the fifth thing in being a great communicator. Keep calm. They may say something that just irritates you no end in the conversation and really triggers you. And they might say something, and you know what? Your spouse knows your triggers. Have you figured that one out? And you know your spouse's. It's not very loving to use them, but when we're not in a good mood, we often do. Keep calm and don't argue. Last two verses. Proverbs 17:27. Those who are sure of themselves do not talk all the time. Those who are sure of themselves, that means you've got self-confidence. You're not insecure. Anytime you see somebody who talks all the time, talk, they got a blabber mouth, they are incredibly insecure. Insecure people talk too much. People who are sure of themselves, people who are confident, they don't need to talk. Okay, I know who I am. Those who are sure of themselves do not talk all the time. And people who stay calm have real insight. And you don't let people trigger you. They don't let people hook you. You don't let people, move you, to say, you make me so mad. Then you're saying, you make me. You have the power to control my emotions. Don't argue. Keep calm. James 1:19, we've talked about this verse literally hundreds of times, Saddleback. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. If you are do the first two, the third's automatic. If you're quick to listen, and if you're slow to speak, you will be slow to get angry. The other problem is, though, that we do the opposite. We're quick to speak. In fact, we want to interrupt. We're quick to speak, we're slow to listen, and as a result, we're quick to get angry. Now, here's your homework. Two things. One, I want you to look over this list and check the ones, go, this is the one I need to work on first, because you can't work on everything at once. Second, identify a person in your life that you need to have that crucial conversation with, whatever it's about. And then start preparing and praying. You can't schedule it, but you can prepare for it and pray. And at the right time, God will teach you what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I so badly want our church family to be filled with great communicators and great conversationalists. You have given us, your children, the greatest message in the universe, the good news. But we've not always been great at sharing it. And we haven't always been great listeners first. I'm asking you, Lord, to help all of us be better listeners and better speakers this next week. Help us to have some healing conversations in our church family, between parents and kids, between husbands and wives, between friends, between small group people, between people who've irritated us. I'm asking you for some real breakthroughs in relationships. Now I'm asking you to pray. Say, Lord, help me to listen better to the people in my life. Help me to look at people with love in my eyes. Help me to invest as much time as needed, not get in a hurry, to be patient, to take the time for meaningful conversation. Help me to not be too busy to talk. Help me to share what they are feeling, not my solution. Keep me from being a fast fixer. Help me to tune in to any hidden hurt or any hidden fear that's behind the words. And sometimes I need to ignore the words and just look at the feelings. Help me to engage people in my life with open-ended questions. And help me to never judge until I have all the facts. And then, Lord, in speaking to people in my life, help me to save my words for the best time and place. Help me to pray and plan what to say, how to say it, when to say it. I want to be smart. I want to be intelligent. And help me to empathize with their needs first. Not my agenda, not my hurt, not my frustration. Help me to affirm the positive alternative. Not to tell it like it is, but to tell it like it could be. The dream, the vision, the goal, the hope for our relationship. And help me to keep calm and not argue. Jesus, I need your spirit to do this. I can't do this on my own, but I want to. And I'm asking for your help. If you've never invited Christ in your life, say, Jesus Christ, come into my life right now and be the chairman of the board, the manager of my life. I humbly ask this in your name. Amen.
Hi, everybody. This is Rick, and I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, Rick, at PastorRick.com and say, Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ. And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus. And I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
What a great message from Pastor Rick today. There's something I always take away from his message. Here's Rick to tell you how you can help support this ministry.
Jesus told his disciples that they should live their lives according to five specific purposes. He said, you've got to love God with all your heart, that's worship, and love your neighbor as yourself, that's ministry, that's called the Great Commandment. And then Jesus said, go make disciples, that's evangelism, baptize them into the family of God, that's fellowship, a sign of fellowship. And then he said, teach them to obey everything I've taught you. That's discipleship. And we call that the Great Commission. We believe at Daily Hope that a great commitment to the Great Commandment and the Great Commission will produce a great Christian, a great church, a great company, a great community. You know, I started Daily Hope so I could spread the good news about Jesus, not just across America, but all around the world. And we want people to know that God's word is filled with hope and truth. And the power that we need to follow him every day is available to every single one. You know as well as I do that the word of God changes lives. It's alive, it's active, and it breathes new life and new love into all of our lives. So wherever you listen to this, whether you listen on the website, whether you listen on a radio station, or whether you listen through a podcast, you're a part of the Daily Hope family. And I need your help. We could not do this without your support. We're 100% listener funded. Would you continue to pray for this broadcast? And would you continue to support us? And write to me. Let me hear from you. I absolutely love reading the stories that are sent to me. So write me, pray for me, and support this ministry. And God will bless it, and God will bless you. And we'll get to heaven, and we'll thank God for all the people going to be in heaven because you cared.
Hey, if you'd like to support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, just go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309. And really, from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people everywhere. Hey, be sure to join us next time when we look into God's Word for our Daily Hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.